This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
You know what I'm getting sick of? The two-minute report. Oh, my God.
How about that? Why, there were a lot of ways that could have gone.
Yeah.
And it was, the NBA two-minute report. Okay.
Yeah.
Now you got my attention. Congratulations. That's good radio. If you're like, you know what I'm sick of? Traffic. It's like, yeah, we all are.
Yeah, that's a little basic. Right. I don't know if anybody expected me to say the NBA two-minute report.
No, very specific. No.
But you know what I'm more into?
What's that?
Day betting alert.
Here we go.
That's right, my friends.
Day betting alert.
We've got day baseball before we get to the abomination of the two-minute report. That in just moments. But we have got baseball this afternoon, and it is happening at Citi Field in Queens, New York, between the Cubs and the Mets. And for today's day betting alert, we turn it over to Evan Wilner, our producer. Evan?
Yeah, we are going over a half a run in the second inning.
Oh, look
plus
at you.
Plus 105.
Look at you.
How about this? This is a nice little twist.
So do we have rationale?
First pitch is at 110. I will see you guys in a half hour for the second inning. No rationale, nothing to it. I just figured it was plus money. You hope maybe they go 1-2-3 in the first. You get the heart of the lineup for both teams. You get one run.
Okay, so what we need in this bet is just simply for the two teams to find a way, Mets Cubs, to score a minimum of one run in the second inning.
Correct.
Wildly specific. Like, we are starting to really drill down on these day betting alerts.
But yesterday you went, the first pitch would be a ball.
It's a great bet.
Very specific.
Bomb umpire called it a strike. It was high and inside. That was a bad call.
I thought it caught the plate.
Should get a refund on that one.
Would we call this instant satisfaction type wagers that we're going with these days?
It's more the degenerate category, I would say. Like, just a group of degenerates who are looking for ways to fight. Like, Evan even admitted, he's like, there's really no rationale to any of this. It's like, all right, I can get behind that. I'll limit the bet size, obviously. This won't be a national anthem-sized bet like we've had in some Super Bowls. That's neither here nor there at the moment. But, okay, yeah, let's have some fun. Entertainment, action, let's go. I'm in. I'm absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think anyone was questioning whether or not I was in. That would have been a twist if it's like, nah, I'm going to sit this one out, boys.
Yeah. No, lunch, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. Exactly.
Day betting alert.
So it is the Cubs-Mets second inning. We are going with over a half run scored between the two teams. And Evan, that is it. Plus 105, correct?
That is correct. It's Ben Brown against Adrian Hauser. Ben Brown's ERA over 4. Adrian Hauser's ERA over 8.
No guarantees on that. Guy could get run in the first inning. You never know.
We did not drill down into the Ben Brown, Adrian Hauser ERA specifically in the second inning. We didn't do that.
Imagine sending that over to Stats and Research. They'd be like, we know what this is for. Get the hell out of here.
After the first email I sent today, I'm not getting that one back.
Listen, that radio show, you guys are at the bottom of our list. The stuff you're sending, we know it's not for any purposes that actually matter around here.
It is Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. So the NBA off of the Knicks-Sixers Game 5 has sent out a two-minute report regarding the officials down the stretch. And it is just full of corrections, one of which is referencing a crew, the refereeing crew missing Tyrese Maxey's travel on his three-pointer that he was fouled on by Mitchell Robinson with 25 seconds left. There should have been a travel called in that instance. Now, Joe, we did the show yesterday, right?
Yes.
We watched the game the other night, correct?
Yes.
I don't remember much screaming and yelling about a potential travel in that moment until, I would say, probably late yesterday afternoon when some cute Knick fan with a video editing fetish decided to go in and find some way in which the Knicks must have gotten hosed in that moment. I have to tell you, unless it's egregious, unless people are screaming and yelling about it, which they were not, I do not need the two-minute report in any way, shape, or form.
See, I disagree. I like the two-minute report. And I heard Stephen A. banging on it this morning, and he made good points. You're making a good point here as well. Like, there are plenty of good reasons to avoid, eliminate, get rid of the two-minute report, whatever you want to say. I love it because this just adds to the conversation. right? There's no such thing as bad press. Now, there is, naturally, some things that you absolutely want to slip through the news cycle. This is great. This has all of us talking about the NBA the next day. The two-minute report is a fantastic thing. Remember, this is an entity that's trying to keep up with the National Football League. They're toying with the idea of moving their draft, which is only two rounds, to a two-day event. Now, I don't know how great that'll be because we're not going to be that attached to any of these players coming out in the second round. But you know what? I applaud what they're going for. It's why we sat here as a show collectively and said, hey, if you want a big TV event like the NFL has with their schedule release and things of that nature, you should have the teams, when they line up for the playoffs, the higher seeds should get to pick their opponents. They should be able to draft them. You should televise that on TV. That would be an incredible experience, and it would be unique. Only this sport does it. You don't see it anywhere else in the world. Now, I don't know if the NBA is going to take us up on that, but I think the two-minute report's a great thing because each day it comes out and it gives us something to talk about, to criticize, to analyze, to go over, and ultimately that's good for the league. We're talking about the league. The NFL loves it when there's a blown... When that Saints-Rams game in the NFC Championship game had that call, oh, if you're the NFL, you got to love that. The next day, everyone's talking about that wall-to-wall.
Well, then why does the NFL always complain to the people who are hammering the officials for missing a call whenever that kind of thing happens? Because they do. You know, leagues do that. They, whether it's, you know, individuals in media and such, there are always phone calls made of like, we cannot hammer the officials for what's going on here.
Yeah, that's the dog and pony show, though. We all got to keep up appearances.
See, I feel like... first of all, your idea about picking the playoff opponents is brilliant. I love it. I absolutely would do it. And that really brings a lot of attention to it. I feel like all this does is really, I guess, try to make teams feel a little bit better if they feel like they got hosed the night before. But really all it does is make them feel worse because they're not going back and fixing it.
Yeah. I do think also it gives the illusion, or I shouldn't say illusion, but it presents transparency, right? Like, we take this seriously. We go back and analyze. Here are the mistakes. We want you to know that we've caught these and we understand it. And with gambling on the rise in this country, sports betting and all that stuff, I think transparency and the integrity of the game are more important now than ever before for a lot of people who may suspect some things, which is an excellent segue into this. This game tonight between the Sixers and the Knicks, if I'm the Knicks, I absolutely am worried about a bad whistle. Absolutely concerned about a bad whistle in tonight's game. I'll start with this as a reason why. Opening round of the playoffs for the NBA, not so great. Not so great. True. Oklahoma City, 4-0 sweep. Minnesota Timberwolves, 4-0 sweep. Durant's gone. Steph's not even here. LeBron was eliminated in 5. Dallas is up 3-2 over the Clippers, but that's a late series. You know, how many people on the East Coast are staying up to watch it? Indiana's 3-2 over Milwaukee, but we haven't seen Giannis and Dame's hurt. Cleveland's 3-2 over the Magic, but those two aren't getting people riled up. Boston just wrapped it up 4-1. This is the only series you got in the opening round. It'll get better, but this is the only series you got. And the way it's lining up is an opportunity tonight for the Sixers to win at home, force a Game 7, Philadelphia at New York, the Garden, Saturday, Cinco de Mayo weekend, Kentucky Derby, NHL playoffs, Canelo Alvarez has a fight, the UFC has a pay-per-view in Rio, and the NBA can take a Game 7 between Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, Jalen Brunson at the Garden and put it right in the mix of one of the best sports days of the year. I gotta tell you, if I'm the Knicks, if I'm Knicks fans, I'm concerned about the whistle tonight. And then we find out, just a little while ago, Scott Foster tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God.
Scott Foster, who has an official this season in the NBA, home teams are winning 66% of the time. Ladies and gentlemen, you should be concerned if you're a Knicks fan tonight.
Oh, God. I have no rooting interest. My rooting interest is against Scott Foster. Like, are you really going to do this tonight, bro? And listen, I get it. I would love a seventh game. I would love to see that happen. I think it'd be amazing energy. That's not the way I want to see it happen.
No, but remember, it's really about it's about making an accurate call at an inopportune time. Understanding how to stop a run. Right? Understanding how to stop a run. We learned all this with the Donaghy scandal. Now, I want to be very clear. I am not suggesting any improprieties at all. That is not what I am saying. I am not saying Scott Foster, that there's anything wrong with him or anything else. Trust me, every single fan base, when they find out Scott Foster's on their game, they all complain. I've worked in plenty of markets. Everybody is concerned about Scott Foster. Everyone feels that Foster's out to get their team. It's universal across the board. So there's really no bias there. Everyone dislikes him. But I'm just saying, we do understand the lucrative nature of a game seven.
Yeah, absolutely.
And certain times calls are made, certain times they're not. It doesn't make them right or wrong. It just, you know.
To your point, part of that two-minute report included, remember when Joel Embiid raked across the face of Jalen Brunson and got the flagrant?
Yes.
An offensive foul, they say after the fact, should have been called on Brunson on the play.
Really?
So that's what you want. You want that accurate call of the offensive foul on Brunson to be called on that spot with Scott Foster tonight.
What did Brunson do
wrong? Making an accurate call at an inopportune time.
What did Brunson do wrong?
I guess he kind of ran off him with his forearm a little bit.
Could
but
you
the
imagine,
league said that.
Can you imagine if they make that call? If they make that call there, he gets raked and they call it on Brunson in the Garden in a closeout game, they would have gone nuts.
Yeah, all they say about it, here is the direct quote. Brunson should have been called for an offensive foul in overtime on the play that ultimately became a flagrant on Joel Embiid for hitting Brunson in the head. It didn't explain why, but he should have been called for one there.
We're Americans. We don't need the why. Just give us the headline and send us to the comment section.
So you're telling me tonight, Scott Foster, he will make that call.
I'm saying this. We have a radio show tomorrow. I have a feeling we'll be discussing the officiating.
You know, as I ask this question, should I not hate Scott Foster because of what I do for a living? Like, should he be the patron saint of sports talk radio?
Are you saying should you not hate him?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of the great characters of sports talk radio. I can't tell you how many times I've been involved in a sports talk radio conversation about Scott Foster.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of our all-time characters, right? Like, he might not be Homer Simpson, but he's absolutely, I don't know, Mo?
No, he's a character who makes our job easier at times.
Mo from Mo's Tavern, you know, something like that. Like, he's definitely a character that it's like, yeah, hell yeah.
He's a supporting role.
Right, exactly.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. You know, the temperature's getting up into the high 70s. Big fella's getting ready to jump in the deep end.
Mm.
Little cannonball. Pool party coming up next, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Couple props for tonight's showdown between the Knicks and the Sixers. Tobias Harris under 12.5 points. Anyone who knows me should have seen this one coming from a mile away. Here is Tobias Harris point totals from game one on in this series. 7, 10, 8, 10, 19. One of these things is not like the other. Now, his points prop the other night was 10.5. But because he scored 19 points, the bookmakers have now adjusted the prop from 10.5 up to 12.5. That creates value. That's an over-adjustment, in my opinion. We will play Tobias Harris under 12.5 points. In addition, we're going to go under 199 for the game. This feels like a grind. Everybody's hurt. Everyone was in overtime the other night. They're playing 50-plus minutes. They're banged up. They're worn down. They're familiar with one another. Both teams are desperate to find their third scoring option. Knicks are desperate to find a second scoring option at the moment. That game, last time out, was a dead shot under if it doesn't go to overtime. Now, thankfully, it did because I had the over. I got very lucky there, but you won't fool me again. So, two more pizza monies for you. Tobias Harris under 12.5 points. Game stays under 199 points.
Slide on your Speedo.
Chris Carlin in the his house.
Put on those floaties and grab a margarita. It's a Carlin versus Joe pool party.
Man, I can't remember the last time I did a good cannonball. It's been a while.
How long's a while? Roughly.
Gotta be 5 years.
5 years since you can't last cannonball?
Gotta be, yeah.
Let's get one this summer.
I think we can get one. We are fortunate enough to have a very small pool here. And I just feel like the small pool, there's a lot of danger involved on a lot of fronts there if I do a cannonball. It's not just, flooding the whole backyard. It's more like I'm going to slam my head into something.
Perhaps just cannonballing so deep and fast through the water, you smash into the bottom of the pool and create like a crack situation.
Could be.
The fact that you actually have a pool and we're wondering whether or not this is possible, it feels like this is possible in the next 30 minutes, to be honest.
Well, we haven't opened it yet for the year.
All right. Well, when do we think we're opening it? Memorial Day weekend?
Soon. Next couple weeks.
All right.
Next couple weeks.
All right. Let's get it open. Let's get social media out there. There's got to be a sponsorship in that.
There has to be.
Cannonball into the pool, brought to you by Long John Silver's.
Big fella could use somebody to come over with a little chlorine every week.
Yeah.
Just saying. That's all. Very small pool.
All right, little pool party action here for you. How it works. I'm going to present you a pool with several options. From within that pool, you tell me the best option that suits your fancy. Pool number one. Yesterday, we had a discussion. I set a prop for you at Fortinball Palace. LeBron James plus Kevin Durant plus Steph Curry. Over under half a championship the rest of the way out. You said over, Handman said over. Evan Wilner said over. So I ask you, between LeBron, Steph, and KD, which one's most likely to win that championship?
I'm riding with Durant here because I think that Durant is not in his final place of where he's going to play. I almost said his final resting place, which would have been a little dark there. But I think he's going to play somewhere else, and I think he's going to play that role of a secondary or tertiary player on a team that has a chance to win a championship, and that's his best opportunity as long as he's not the centerpiece of what you're trying to do. I go Durant.
I would take Steph. I think everyone's sleeping on what's going on in Golden State. If there's one thing we know about Golden State, they are going to try to get aggressive. They called and tried to trade for LeBron James. Now, whether or not it works out remains to be seen. But I think there are a lot of players around the league who in this summer, wanting to be traded, wanting to move elsewhere, there are a lot of guys who have got to look to Golden State and say, we saw what they did for Kevin Durant. Like, I'd have no problems playing with Steph. He's the most selfless guy in the NBA. He's one of the best teammates in NBA history. I would go with Steph over a half. I'm not going to sleep on the Golden State Warriors. Pool party number two, the star to move teams in the portal this summer. Which of the following three do you think is most likely to find a new home? Once again, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, or Paul George?
Paul George. I think Paul George is a perfect fit for the Sixers if you're looking to add somebody to Maxi and Embiid. I'm more than convinced now that Embiid's not going to ask out, primarily because if you have paid attention to Maxi all season long, it's hard to not want to play with him, understanding the situation and understanding that if you can get another star there, that's most likely to happen. I would look at Durant and say, not this year. I don't see him leaving this year.
I'd lean to him. Paul George is from Los Angeles. I could see that there would be some teams and some options out there, but I think ultimately that's just a comfortable situation for him. For Durant, I don't know, man. It doesn't seem like Phoenix has a chance to really bolster what it is you're looking for, and he's been known to move in the past. I could see it happening again this summer. Pool party number three, the team already eliminated from the NBA playoffs that could be in the finals next year. The Phoenix Suns, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Miami Heat, the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, my God. Can I go with no?
Sure. You don't have to go swimming today.
No, I don't. I'm going to take a pass. I don't think any of those teams are, and I know I'm saying that right now before we have anybody else or any moves this offseason to determine what they are. I can't, unless the Lakers are adding a premier player this offseason, I can't pick them. I'm saying no across the board here.
I'd rule the Suns out for sure. The Heat are intriguing because right now our thought of them is, man, they just got blown out by Boston. They're a long way away, but they could have a very interesting summer. Smart front office, smart coaching staff, already a lot of good, solid pieces in place. Jimmy Butler coming back healthy, very attractive to play in Miami. Pool party number four, team most likely to win the NBA title. Option number one, you get the Nuggets and the Celtics. Option number two, you get the field. If you remember, this was a discussion about 2 months ago. We had the market posted on ESPN Bet. Nuggets and Celtics was like plus 125. We bet it. And then that number plummeted because obviously they played very, very well. So would you stick with that, Nuggets plus Celtics, or would you take the field?
I would stick with it. I'm rooting for the field because I've got the Thunder at 18-1.
Very
on
nice.
On ESPN Bet. We played that a few weeks ago. And by the way, it looks like the Cubbies are putting a little something together in inning number two in New York. We have got a one-out double. That's right.
Oh, forgot about this. Day betting alert. The bet is we will get at least one run in the second inning.
Exactly.
Very specific bet on behalf of Evan Wilner. But okay, top two, one out, runner on second.
One out double for Bush. Anyway, I will still take the Nuggets and Celtics. I look at this kind of like the UConn bet of a few weeks ago. UConn or the field, like, I can't go against it. I have to go with the Nuggets and Celtics, and specifically the Nuggets. If you even threw the Celtics into the field, I'd still take the Nuggets.
See, the thing with the Celtics is that you're going to get half the finals. That's what's so comfortable about that bet, is that even if it goes haywire for Denver, you should still be in the finals. The field means someone has to rise out of the East, and if they don't, you got to get Denver knocked off, because if it's Denver-Boston in the finals, you're done before the first game is played. So I'm with you. Nuggets plus Celtics over the field, but it's going to be interesting once the second round series gets started between Denver and Minnesota.
All right. That is a little pool party for this Thursday afternoon. Right now, we have got Adrian Hauser on the mound against the Cubs. Mets Cubs, the wager for the show with Day Betting Alert is one run to be scored between the Mets and the Cubs in the second inning, over a half run, plus 105. The batter for the Cubs with one out is Patrick Wisdom with a runner on second. Quickly check in with Evan Wilner. Your thoughts right now.
Yeah, I don't love Patrick Wisdom up here. He's riding the interstate at 167, so we'll see what happens.
Would you rather have Wisdom or Madrigal or maybe a little Pete Crow Armstrong?
Always Pete Crow Armstrong. That's always the answer to that question.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see how the inning plays out. We will keep you updated on today's Day Betting Alert. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can help you protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. And if something wasn't mentioned that you had in mind, find out if it can be covered at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, because it probably can be. Lakers and Suns both considering coaching changes. One Hall of Famer calls that move cowardly. By the way, that's a one-out walk, first and second, one out now for the Cubbies. And here comes Nick Madrigal.
I don't like that. I don't like the idea, the possibility of a double play.
I agree.
Over, like, let's go. What are we doing here?
I agree. We had this burn us a few weeks ago when you were out in a first inning situation. But let's see if we can make this work. Let's see if we can make it work. In fact, while you have this from our friends over at Grainger.
Okay. So, for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to the product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer all your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Oh, yeah.
Day betting alert. Day betting alert.
That's a winner. Evan Wilner delivers. More importantly, Pete Crow Armstrong, with one of the weakest ground balls you'll ever see, delivers a run in the top half of the second inning for the Cubbies. Thus, we hit the over at plus 105.
A lot of people to thank here, starting with Wilner. Great call. Pete Crow Armstrong as well. An awful Mets defense. I mean, just abysmal. What should have been a double play turned into nothing. They got zero outs. They weren't able to do anything with the slow roller all the way around. Just a poor job from the Mets defense. And we end up cashing. Wilner, take a victory lap. That's a job well done.
Yep. The Mets have been playing hot potatoes since roughly 2004.
Lindor had the flu, so that was another. Evan was all over that. He knew that the Mets didn't have Lindor at shortstop, and there you go.
It's a strong cap. And not only that, we didn't even need to worry about the bottom half of the inning. Like, it's a sweat-free cap.
Yeah.
That was the second out of six outs in that inning, and we just needed one run. Like, that's a job well done.
That's the old rocking chair right there. Cubs sit back and enjoy.
Cubs back in action tomorrow, 2:20 start against the Brewers at home. So we'll be right back here to take you through that one.
220, is that the only day game tomorrow?
The only day game.
I was going to say, a little presumptuous that we're going to go right back to the Mets, but if it's our only option, rest assured we'll be there.
Back to the Cubs.
Cubs.
The old 220 Eastern start at Wrigley on a Friday.
Who are they playing?
The Brewers.
Brew Crew's been pretty good this year. I think that's a battle of the top two teams in the NL Central.
We also have a special, just for a tease, we have a special day betting tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
That is going to be awesome.
Yeah, Carlin, we actually didn't even bring you into the loop on this just yet.
Oh, thanks.
Just because
thanks.
We forgot.
Appreciate that.
But there's an awesome day betting alert for tomorrow. Very okay. Special day betting alert. And we're going to leave it there.
Okay.
It's going to be happening sometime around, did we say 1:30 Eastern?
Yeah. I have a feeling I know what it involves. But yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited.
Get excited.
I'm excited. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. You know who else should be one of the patron saints of sports talk radio? Charles Barkley. Because he always gives us something. Here he is last night on the NBA on TNT addressing the futures of both Frank Vogel and Darvin Ham, or more appropriately, those who are speculating on those futures.
Anybody who thinks the reason the Lakers suck is because of Darvin Ham, or the reason the Suns suck is because of Frank Vogel, you don't know what you're talking about. Frank Vogel is a hell of a coach. Darvin Ham is a hell of a coach trying to get his career started. But for all you punks, idiots, and jackasses on other networks who want to be media and who want all the players to like y'all, do your damn job. The Lakers suck, and the Suns suck because of the players. Has nothing to do with the coaches. I feel better now.
Yeah, I can tell. Looks like you are getting that off your chest.
I did. I hate it, man. You sit there like Darvin Ham needs to get fired. Frank Vogel needs to get fired. Who put them teams together? Them trash ass teams put together need to get fired. Them guys, they didn't just all of a sudden suck as coaches. People who put them teams together they start packing up their stuff.
I absolutely love the idea from Chuck about not about the people who are saying what they're going to say. Opinions are what they are. But the idea that these guys are to blame for this whole thing. I mean, Frank Vogel has been there for a year. You saddle him with these three players, throw them all together, go, Frank, make it work. You know, make sure that everybody's happy. Make sure that everybody's healthy, by the way, and able to play together all year long. And thus, make sure that they're, when they are on the court together, that they're all going to be in sync with one another. I mean, you got Durant not happy with what his role has been in Phoenix and the fact that he's not getting enough shots, and it's his fault. You got LeBron, who I'm sure handpicked Darvin Ham, as it turns out, and now it's his fault. Get him out of here, please. That's complete and utter garbage.
How often does inconsistency and instability lead to success in any walk of life? And this is for LeBron, KD, and any other player who is just constantly shuffling teams, coaches, teammates, whatever it may be. It doesn't work. You make changes.
You just described, yes, like, basically one of the big problems in society today.
Yeah. Like, again, you need some consistency. You need some stability. You need some routine. You find the little issues that aren't as great, and then you make improvements. I mean, let's start with LeBron. He's been in the league, I think, 21. He's going to be going on his 22nd year. His next head coach will be his 9th head coach. 9 head coaches. That's a lot of head coaches, right? Are all of them bad coaches? He just had Frank Vogel last year. Like, Frank Vogel won a championship. Now, I understand it was the bubble and we could say whatever we want with that, but it wasn't good enough. So he made the call. We're moving on. You bring in Darvin Ham. Now you don't like him. Like, they run everything by you. In Milwaukee, they ran everything by him. They got rid of their head coach. They brought in Doc Rivers. Okay, how's it all working out?
Yep.
Like, the players should not have a say in this sort of thing. The players are very bright. The players are very smart. They're great basketball guys. But when you're talking about forming an organization and dividing up responsibilities and putting certain people in leadership positions, the players shouldn't be the ones picking the coaches. Like, look at what happened in Brooklyn with Kevin Durant, a model of inconsistency throughout his career in terms of just jumping from all one place to another. He goes to Brooklyn. They wanted Steve Nash there, so they got Steve Nash. It didn't work out. Steve Nash got to go, man. Steve Nash got to go. Like, how quickly did they turn on Steve Nash in Brooklyn? 1 year of Frank Vogel, that's it. We're not going to give him more than 1 year. We're uncomfortable with the way Frank Vogel does things. You should be uncomfortable. If everyone's comfortable, no one's growing, right? You have to have a certain level of discomfort. You have to have a certain level of uncomfortableness, if that's even a word, in order to move forward as an organization. We don't want everyone having the same opinion. If everyone has the same opinion, we have no opinion, right? Like, you need different opinions. The most success Kevin Durant ever had was when he went to a place with stability. He went to Golden State. Coach was in place, Steve Kerr. Front office was in place. Players were in place. He joined them. They all had a lot of success. Everywhere else he's gone, it's been players in and out, coaches in and out, and it hasn't been successful. Same thing with LeBron. These coaches are just in and out, players in and out, in and out. How are you going to build anything when you operate like that?
Player empowerment is good, but in some instances, like the Durant thing in Brooklyn, I'm happy to get you involved and talk to you and solicit your opinions on what you think we should do and what's best for the organization. But I also, in turn, need you to take some ownership of what goes on with our team. And Durant was never willing to do that in Brooklyn. Case in point, what we were talking about earlier with Kyrie. Kyrie took over. Kyrie took over and just did whatever he wanted. And Durant, who was the centerpiece of what Brooklyn was trying to do a couple of years ago, brought him in, brought Kyrie in because Durant wanted him. And then once it all went haywire, Durant had no interest in trying to fix it. None. Oh, you guys, that's your job. Please.
Stop running from discomfort. Stop avoiding these so-called problems. Like, you're going to become stronger going through the adversity rather than running from it. At every turn, when you're slightly uncomfortable, if you run from it or call for someone to get fired or trade this guy or move this guy, like, you're never going to build any sort of consistency. You're not going to have a chance at a winner. Like, it's no surprise that those two teams are out in round one. There's nothing consistent about them. Nothing. You're not going to be able to compete at the highest level with the teams who have been through the battles together. How the hell do you expect to get past Denver when you're just, it's a rotating, revolving door of individuals and coaches, different philosophies that you need to learn every year. A different philosophy requires a different group of players. Now we're going to fire this guy, so it's a new philosophy and it's a new group of players. And on it goes. Meanwhile, Denver, just humming along, man, just humming along.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. There is one sports story that has just gotten downright ugly. We'll tell you about it next on ESPN Radio.
Barbasol Shaving Cream, America's leader for a close, comfortable shave. Better by Barbasol.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
This story has just gotten really ugly with Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. So in case you missed it, Ryan Garcia tested positive for performance-enhancing substance Oestrogen the day before and the day of his upset win over Haney last month. Now, that's according to the Anti-Doping Association letter that was sent out and of course, obtained by ESPN. So here is Garcia responding on Twitter to the accusations involved here that he has tested positive.
Everybody knows that I don't cheat. What can I say? You know, why didn't they come out with this before, you know, the fight, if they found it before? Why would they let me step into the ring as a cheater and then come out with a victory and then they post this, you know? Again, these are people that are trying to attack me for whatever reason, but no weapon against me shall prosper. I never taken a steroid. I don't even know where to get steroids at the end of the day. I barely, you know, take supplements. They're saying it's coming from the ashwagandha. That's so.
At the end lies. Of the
day, big lies. I beat his ass out of here. Everybody go to Warwick tonight. It's lit.
So,
a lot going on in that video, by the way. You're only getting the audio. He's got a couple people behind him, a female and a male, that are just, I don't know if they're like hype people, like the new modern version of like Flavor Flav.
Yeah.
But you gotta kind of watch it too.
Well,
get the whole experience.
Yeah, I did see it yesterday. And he was talking about at the beginning, why didn't they let me know before the fight? Because the results were not known until later.
Also,
the samples were collected before the fight.
Yeah, an important point there. Right.
Exactly.
They collected before the fight. They, you know, run it through the lab, but the fight's already happened by that point, and then they notify you.
That's a bit of a problem,
you know,
Mr. Garcia. So
not a COVID test, okay?
No.
You're not getting that back instantaneously. It's not 15 minutes.
I'm not swabbing your nose.
Right.
Here is Devin Haney's statement in response. We learned about the situation not too long ago, and it's unfortunate Ryan cheated and disrespected both the fans and the sport of boxing by fighting dirty and breaking positive not once but twice. Ryan owes the fans an apology, and by his recent tweet, he still thinks this is a joke. We put our lives on the line to entertain people for a living. You don't play boxing. This puts the fight in a completely different light. Despite the disadvantage, I still fought on my shield and got my back up. People die in this sport. This isn't a joking matter. All right, your take.
All right, few things to note. Number one, I do have my own hype man in here now over my shoulder, as you can see. So we're going to put together our own little Ryan Garcia video, although I won't have as much money or fame or good looks as Garcia.
I can't see him behind you, actually.
Are you looking on the Zoom or are you looking
No, feed? I'm looking. I'm just saying he's not quite tall enough to be.
Oh, it's a shot.
Behind you, yes.
You going to take that? Shot. Hey, hype man, you going to take that? You can go ahead and throw out that, yeah. That's what we're about. So for Haney, there's a lot to be upset about here because this entire fight was a complete disaster for him. Garcia, if anyone remembers, weighed in about a little over 2 pounds over the limit. He had to forfeit a portion of his purse to Devin Haney, and then they agreed to move forward, and then they took the fight, and then Garcia busted Haney up bad in that fight. That's as bad as Devin Haney's ever looked, and now his perfect record is gone. If I'm him, I'm very upset about this, but to be fair, he, his father Bill, his entire camp, they mismanaged all of this. They knew it's like going to be hard to get through.
He's got a strong chin in nodding it yes behind you.
Yeah,
he's got a very strong chin.
He's quite formidable over my shoulder.
Yes,
quite formidable.
Is.
But the thing with this is they never should have gone forward with the fight. The Haney family overlooked Garcia. They thought he was crazy. They thought he wasn't taking the fight seriously. They thought he was definitely beatable because of what we saw with the Tank Davis fight a year ago. They thought they were going to go into this thing. They were going to handle their business. They were going to get a big payday because Garcia's a big draw, and they were going to move on with their career. And they overlooked the guy from start to finish, right? They didn't take him seriously. And Garcia pulled one over on him one way or another. He showed up heavy. The Haney family said it was okay. They went forward with the fight. And then this ends up happening. I would be upset too, but you could have gotten out of this thing. All right? You get involved with the crazy man who some people feel Ryan Garcia is at this point with some of the things he talks about, some of the ways he acts. Maybe it's an act. Maybe it's not. But you get involved with something like that, you should expect the unpredictable. You deal with someone who's unpredictable, you should expect the unpredictable. This is what ends up happening. At the end of the day, there's a reason Floyd Mayweather and Bill Haney were on Instagram fighting with each other, and Floyd came out on top there, right? Floyd controlled his career meticulously and got everything he wanted out of it. Perfect record, most box office money made ever, right? Haney, they were misguided. They made some mistakes there, and it cost them big time.
See you at Warwick, it's going to be lit.
What is Warwick, by the way? Is it club? I'm assuming it's club.
That's good. So what happens now?
So
is the fight going to be, like, is all of the results of it going to just be wiped out?
No.
What's going to happen?
No, none of that stuff happens. Like, it's done. Like, it's done. So what ends up happening is Garcia has, like, 9 days or something to request the B sample be tested as well. Because sometimes maybe there's a mistake with the testing. So you have the B sample. Maybe that'll get to the bottom of it. One way or another, here's what happens. Ryan Garcia's next fight is going to be a really big deal. Everyone's going to want to see what happens in Garcia's next fight because he's interesting. Maybe he misses weight again. Maybe, you know, there's something going on in his personal life and there's going to be a lot of crazy drama. Whatever it is, the guy's leveraged social media in a great way. He is box office. He's going to be a big draw. And busting up Devin Haney was huge for his career coming off that Tank Davis loss. For Haney, you can't say the same thing because he doesn't have the most appealing style to watch. He's a bit boring. He's in that Shakur Stevenson camp where it's just they're very defensive, they're very quick, they're very slick, they're very impressive. They're just not that entertaining. And not only are you not entertaining, you're no longer undefeated. So whatever the next fight is, I mean, I'm interested. I think he's a great fighter, but I'm kind of more interested in what Ryan Garcia is going to be up to next in terms of entertainment value.
Okay, so I guess what you're saying is cheaters can sometimes prosper.
Hey, I'm not advocating it.
And then just deny what goes on as if the wow.
I've
never considered any of that to be possible,
especially in boxing
or society. Doesn't matter.
I would tell you what: if both guys go out and set their next fights, I think Garcia is the one that's going to have the much bigger draw. Haney is not that. Haney's style is not appealing to a lot of fans. It is a very defensive style. He sticks the jab. He moves. He doesn't knock guys out. Garcia's a wild card, man. Everything about it. Good-looking guy. Very unpredictable. Very popular on social. He's got big-time knockout power. You saw him flooring Devin Haney. Like, his career, I am very intrigued to see who his next opponent's going to be because it could be an all-time mega fight. I mean, think about it like this. He didn't even take Haney's strap. Like, because he was overweight, it was never a title
fight.
It's
not on the line, right?
Right. Yeah. So he knocks him out. It doesn't even matter. He doesn't even seem to care. He's just moving on. Like, it's just a fascinating character.
Let me ask this. Would Haney fight him again?
If I'm Haney, I would absolutely want to fight
this guy
again. But if I'm Garcia, I'm moving on, man. Garcia's got some big, big potential fights out there.
Okay, but is the bigger payday with Haney again after all this, or is it elsewhere?
Bigger payday for Haney is a rematch. Bigger payday for Garcia is like the next story. I would say whoever the next one's going to be, that's going to be the bigger payday. There are going to be a lot of people lining up because Garcia, he's not bulletproof, man. He's very beatable. Haney just overlooked him, and it turns out his chin wasn't as strong as he thought it was.
Or Garcia was a lot stronger than he thought he was.
Well, yeah, you're dealing with that too. I mean, he was overweight. You could have gotten out of it.
Yeah, I guess that's on you for not pulling out of the fight. Yeah, you're going to have to deal with the consequences of it. Carlin versus Joe, very good explanation of it. Very good recreation of it as well.
Nice job, Evan.
With the hype man behind you. I thought that was all well executed on your part.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.